Good morning. Well, we have some new developments in the terrorism case out of Colorado. Disturbing developments. Nazibullah Zazi, a 24-year-old Afghan living in Denver, was indicted yesterday in New York on conspiracy charges related to alleged plans to detonate homemade bombs in the New York subway system. Those are much more serious charges than lying to investigators. According to the documents from the government, Mr. Zazi bought large amounts, gallons, of acetone and hydrogen peroxide from beauty supply stores around the area, and he was supposedly experimenting with bomb making in a Denver area hotel room. He's also accused of having about 9 pages of instructions on how to make explosives on his computer. Mr. Zazi is right now in Denver, Colorado. He's awaiting a court hearing to have him transferred to New York City. Joining us right now is Bruce Findley. He's a staff writer for the Denver Post. Bruce, tell me what's going on. From what we understand, Zazi was actually all around. The federal agents visited beauty supply stores all around Denver looking for places he may have bought these chemicals.
Good morning, Celeste. We don't have any specific addresses for the hotel where he apparently was cooking the chemicals or which stores, although a clerk at one of the stores says he asked him why he was buying so much, and he said he had a lot of girlfriends. I went by the apartment where Nazibullah Zazi lived with his father, Mohammed. The day before yesterday, there was an eviction notice posted on the door. The apartment managers are moving to evict them. It's unclear exactly what their grounds are for that. They said there was a problem with people living in the apartment who weren't listed on the lease. There's the white van shuttle that Nazibullah drove to and from Denver International Airport is still parked out front. Gen X ball cap on the dashboard, back support by the seat. Nearby, there are lots of shoes on the porch of a somewhat besieged family of relatives at the home where Nazibullah initially stayed when he moved from New York to Denver.
Nazibullah's father was released from jail. What has been the reaction of the Afghan community in Denver, which is relatively large?
Some of the fellow shuttle drivers reacted, also Afghanistan-born men reacted sort of incredulously as word of the documents that were unsealed spread yesterday. The operations manager of the company that employed him since March said, it all sounds so funny. I don't think so. He's not that smart to build a bomb, that guy. He's a kid.
Huh.
There's a feeling that, of a little bit of disbelief. But in the early days, some of the Muslim community leaders I talked to, allowed that they're cringing somewhat because they thought it might be another case where the government was perhaps going overboard, and, they'd had a sense of being looked at too closely just because of their country of origin rather than hard evidence. But and now some of the community leaders have told me that, they're thinking more carefully about how this could be happening right in our midst.
I think a lot of us are thinking more carefully. Thanks. That's Bruce Findley. He's a staff writer for the Denver Post. Also joining us is David Johnston, a reporter with our partner, the New York Times, and, of course, Ed O'Callaghan, former federal prosecutor and chief of the Terrorism and National Security Unit in New York's Southern District. He's now a partner at the law firm Nixon Peabody. So, David, let me start with you. A lot of us are now thinking very differently about this case. Many people thought, because he was only charged with lying to investigators, that this was going to be one of those terrorism cases that fizzled out eventually, but it's much more serious than we thought.
So it appears to be. I think there were indications from the start that this was going to turn into a more serious case, and that the initial charges were really placeholders that were there while the investigation went from this covert phase to overt. And I think it was not surprising that there were more serious charges, but one of the documents released yesterday seriously up the ante in this whole matter by talking about his actually moving from having plans to do something and training to actually going out and acquiring and buying the kind of chemicals needed to build the very same kinds of explosives that were used in the London subway bombings and what were going to be used in the airplane attacks based in the UK a year ago.
So, Ed, you heard Bruce Finley talking about people saying that Najibullah is not smart enough to create a bomb, but we're also hearing that he got expert advice. Is it really that difficult for him to have built it?
Well, that's what some of the evidence that the prosecutors have laid out in their recent documents do show, that he had instructions on his computer as to how to combine the components of the hydrogen peroxide and acetone. And so it appears that he had a document that would give him the step-by-step instructions as to do it correctly. The other thing that the prosecutors laid out in their document was that they intercepted emails. The computer evidence that they have recovered really does provide a treasure trove of evidence for them to use going forward. In some of those emails, they laid out that he engaged in email exchanges with others, unnamed at this point, in which he asked for urgent instructions as to how to combine the products properly so that they were effective. So all of that shows that he had the instructions to do it, and he had the communications with people, at least that he thought would help him do it properly.
Well, Ed, you sort of alluded to it there, but I want to comment from you and David, if we could. I mean, there is a pattern, and you're closer to these documents and these indictments than I am. But there's a pattern of urgency here where investigators began to conclude that he was moving towards actually doing something, and it involves these various communications that they intercepted. What were they using to gauge this urgency and the fact that this was about to come down?
Well, I think that, again, as the prosecutors laid out in the document, and again, you don't really know what the evidence is until there's an actual trial and the evidence is put into court. But it does appear that the investigators were looking at Internet email exchanges. They also had telephone intercepts and surveillance. And those three combined surveillance techniques really do give investigators a pretty good window into how urgent the situation was.
Does that also set this apart, David Johnston?
Yeah, I'd say it was. And I think what we're looking at here is a case in which it appeared from the documents made public so far that the pace of his activity seemed to be accelerating. I should say, I think it's important that to note that the government officials in this case still seem to not have a sense of whether he had actually built a working bomb, whether he could actually pull it off, so to speak. But the pace of the activity seemed to be increasing, and that is what really does set this apart. I think that over the years, many people have developed an immunity of sorts to these kinds of cases because there have been so many assertions by government officials over the years that these were very dangerous people, but many of them did not seem to be such a grave danger when we really got to look at the details of these cases. This one appears to be very different.
Could we see more charges against Najibullah Zazi and in investigating are we going to hear more about these as of right now, unnamed others? In other words, would this investigation perhaps widen into a large terrorism investigation?
This is Ed O'Callaghan. The investigation is clearly ongoing. There are, as you said, others named, not named, but at least referred to in the papers. So investigators are clearly looking for other participants. And again, I would say that it is very early on in the investigation, and the evidence will be poured over to make sure that all charges that can be brought will be brought.
David, are we going to see further charges against Zazi?
I wouldn't be surprised at all. I mean, I think this is, as Ed says, this is very early. I think there's a great deal here that isn't known about his activities. Certainly there are references to unidentified others in the charging documents yesterday. I think it's quite likely we're going to see further charges both in New York and possibly Denver.
So, Ed, a quick last question for you. In looking at the way this particular investigation has been led, is there a difference between the way the Obama administration is pursuing these cases as opposed to his former administration than the Bush administration?
No, I don't see a difference at all, quite frankly. What the prosecutors and the investigators do, the agents and the officers, is try to establish the building blocks during the course of the investigation to point them toward participants in a conspiracy and the proper charges. That is consistent throughout the course of no matter what administration is in place.
Okay, Ed O'Callaghan, the former federal prosecutor and chief of the Terrorism and National Security Unit in New York's Southern District, now a partner at law firm Nixon Peabody. We also heard from David Johnston, New York Times reporter. Thank you so much. He joined us from Washington.
Hey, this feels like the real deal. I mean, innocent before proven guilty, of course.
Absolutely.
But scanned, handwritten bomb instructions into a computer, claimed it was an accident.
Bought the supplies.
Buying supplies.
Making an experimental bomb in a hotel.
Gives me the creeps.